Today's daf is daf kufches. Kufches is probably one of the most jam-packed dafim in this parak. It's an easy daf, but there's so many sugyas. You probably draw out 15 different sugyas that you probably are familiar with, and you could spend several weeks learning all the iyun, the halach lemaisa comes from this daf. We're not going to do that, of course, but let's try to cover whatever we can. So the Gemara says the bottom of kuf zayin, Amud Beis, we said from yesterday, four lines up, that Rava havashasi chamra kuli mala yoma de pischa, that Rava would drink wine every Erev Pesach, ki heichi de nigrare lilibe de necha matzah tfei, so l'orta. So in order for him to get hungry, it would whet his appetite. Drinking wine apparently has that ability. So he drank a lot of wine, so he should be hungry for matzah, because the whole point is to be eating matzah l'tavon. Wine apparently helps that. So Gemara wants to know how he knows this. Amar Rava mina aminola de chamra migrar garir. How do you know that wine, in fact, makes you hungrier? It's not the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Going on to Daf Kuf Ches now. Bein hakosos halalu imiratza lishos yishta, ben shlishi lirivi lo yishta. Between the first two cups, if one wants to drink, they're allowed to drink extra cups of wine. But between the third and the fourth cup, one's not allowed to drink wine. So the Gemara explains, vi amris misad sa'id. If you were to say that wine makes you fuller, satisfied more, amayisha, why could you drink any extra cups? It turned out if you're drinking, you know, five cups before the suda, before the matzah, you're going to be eating achilagasa. It must be, Ella, shema mina migra gar, it makes you hungrier. So although you only have to drink two cups before matzah, you're allowed to drink as many cups as you want because it makes you hungry. So then the question is, so why not drink cups afterwards as well? Why can't you drink cups later? So look at the Rashbam. Four lines down in the Rashbam, he says, "Bein shlishi l'revi lo yishta," but you should not drink between the third and fourth cup. Shlishi de birkas amazon after benching. The chayven de lo chashin and od legrire libe lo sharin le. Since you already ate matzah, there's no point in eating and drinking more wine. The whole point of drinking extra wine is just to make you hungrier. But once the meal's over, you already ate the matzah, why drink more? So why not? What's the problem? So you don't need to make you hungrier, but what's wrong if you do drink if you wanted to? So denira kimosiv al arba kosis, because if you're drinking extra cups after the benching, it looks like you're adding on a fifth and sixth and seventh cup or not. If you're drinking before the meal, it looks like you're making yourself hungry. If you're drinking afterwards, it's certainly not to make you hungrier. It must be, there must be a fifth cup, the sixth cup, and that, of course, is not according to halacha. That's why it's not allowed. So Rashbam says further, "Begamar Yushalmi Nimsalama." Why? Kadeshla Ishtakir. The Yushalmi says a different reason, not because of the way it appears, but Kadeshla Ishtakir Desulo Chazi LeMigmar Halela. If you get so drunk from so many cups of wine, you're not going to be able to finish Halel. Upar Chasam. The Yushalmi asks, "Halo Kvar Meshukar Hu Sharei Shasa Harbab Sudaso." He already drank so many cups of wine. He's already drunk. What's a fifth or sixth cup going to do? So the Yushalmi explains, "Umishani Yain Shebesoch Hamazon Lo Meshakir." When you're drinking as you're eating food, so the wine does not have that ability to make you as drunk. But if the meal is already over and you're just drinking straight glass of wine without any food along with it, that is more likely to make a person drunk. So either way, we see from this Gemara that since you're allowed to drink extra cups before the meal, because the wine apparently makes you hungrier. So Gemara now says four lines down in the Kuf Ches Amud Aleph here, Rav Sheshes have a Yosef Betanisa Kol Mala Yoma de Pischa. He would sit, he would have a fast day every single Erev Pesach, he would fast the entire day. Why would he fast the entire Erev Pesach? Neima, Kesavar Rav Sheshes Samech Lemincha Gedolatanan. He must assume the timing and also the reason of not eating so close to Mincha is Mincha Gedola. And when we said Mincha Gedola is the Shir, it's because Mishum Pischa. It's because of Karim Pesach, Dilma, Mimshach, Ve'asi, Lamnuye, Milmevad Pischa. Who? That if you have the meal from a ready Mincha Gedola, you might forget to bring Karban Pesach. So for him, the whole reason for not eating is for Karban Pesach. Now, a second assumption we have to say, the Savar Laki Hod Amar Rabbi Yoshaya Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mach Shaya Ben Beseir permitted the Karban Pesach, the Pesach Sheshachtu Shachris Bar Basar Lishmo. If you shech the Karban Pesach already from the morning, not Chatos, already from the morning, it's actually a good Karban Pesach, Umitzafres Man Pischu. The morning is already this Man Pesach. Since the entire day is roy for bringing the Karban Pesach according to Ben Becerra, but how does he touch the words Bein Maharbayim? The Gemara, the Pasuk clearly says the Karban Pesach should be brought Bein Harbayim, because the Sabar, Bein Harbayim doesn't mean the afternoon of Erev Pesach, Rather, what it means is Bein Arba'im is Bein Erev de Esma, between the evening of Yeshe, the 13th, and Erev Ha'inah, the 14th, which means the morning, between the evenings. Yesterday's afternoon, today's afternoon, that makes the morning. So the morning of the 14th already is Roy for the Karim Pesach. So based on these two assumptions, the Rav Sheshe says you can have meals because of Karim Pesach. And number two is, the Zman Karim Pesach is already from the morning, so you can't have a meal the entire day, lest you forget to bring the Karim Pesach. And that's why Rav Sheshe did not fast, rather he fasted on Erev Pesach. And the Gemara says, love. That's not the reason. Nothing to do with the fancy, you know, footwork of how the Zman Pesach is. Shiny Rav Sheshe. Rav Sheshe was different. Distanis Hava, he was very, very particular. The Tom Bitzafra Midah, if he tasted, had a little breakfast in the morning, Lo'orta Lo'hava Mahani Le Michli, he wouldn't be able to eat. He had such a small appetite, a tiny food, a tiny piece of breakfast in the morning would ruin his appetite. So the only way he could possibly come in hungry for matzah, Lel Seder, is if he were to fast Erev Pesach, but it wasn't having anything to do with his Zman Mincha Gedola or Karban Pesach. Look at Tosas, the second one down, Dira Maschler Rav Sheshes Hava Yosef Betanisa. Lav Dafka wasn't really a real Kabbalah Tainis. He wasn't a Kabbalah Tainis Erev Pesach. Ela Shomer Matzim Melecho. He just didn't eat, but it wasn't a real Tainis. He just chose not to eat that day. Inami, alternatively, Hayam Makabal of Mamish Tainis. Tosas says maybe he really did take a Tainis upon himself. Kadeshi had Nizkar Nizar Melecho, to make it more serious, just to ensure that he wouldn't fast. So there are 2 days whether or not, so he shouldn't eat. So there are 2 days whether it was a real fast or not a real fast. And this is where Tosas quotes, U'becharos nagu lisanos Erev Pesach. And there's a practice, as we know, that the becharos do fast in Erev Pesach, the katani b'masecha sofrim, she'ein misanin b'nisan el ha'becharos b'Erev Pesach. Although there's a iser to fast all of Nisan. Nisan's a very happy month. There's no tachanun, there's no fasting. Erev Pesach is the one exception that you're allowed to because of the becharos. But that's part of the point here. Rav Sheshes, is he allowed to be mekabel tainis? It would seem like he wouldn't be able to. But then he says you're allowed to if the intention is for a good intention, not to fast because of any form of avelus. But the point of fasting is so he shouldn't eat. That would be allowed, and that's when he brings in the tainis becharos. That the practice, of course, is to fast, and we lemaisa have a siyum instead to allow them to break the fast. So now the Gemara says further. So we're going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us in the beginning of the Perek that even an ani requires haseba. You need to lean when eating the matzah, when drinking the wine. So Gemara says, "Afilu ani shebe Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyesef." Even an ani who may not have the enough money, enough food, enough couches, pillows to do haseba, he needs to perform haseba in whatever way he's able to. So Itmar, the Gemara quotes a statement: "Matzah tzarech haseba, mara ein tzarech haseba." So as we know, matzah requires haseba. Matzah is a bider cheres, and haseba represents cheres as well. Mara, on the other hand, which represents avdus, you don't do haseba. There's a discussion in the Beis Yosef and the other poskim. What if one wants to do haseba during Mara? Is he allowed to? So the Beis Yosef says he's allowed to. You don't need to. Ein tzarech, but in Rotza, you could do this. But the way the Magen Avraham says it, that no, if he ate haseba the Mara, he's yotze. But lichatchila, one should not. It's not an option. You should dafka not do haseba during eating the Mara. So then the Gemara quotes the Machlokas. What about yayin? So yayin itmar mishmei de Rav Nachman. It was said in the name of Rav Nachman tzarech haseba. Vitmar was said also, Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Ein Tzar Chaseba. So there's a steer, what Rav Nachman felt. Willow pligi, there really is no machlokas. Habatarte kasi kame, habatarte kasi basrai. One is referring to the first two cups, and the other referring to the second two cups. Now the question is which? Which do you do Haseba for, which don't you do Haseba? And the Gemara explains, Amri lahagisa, Ramla lahagisa. There's room to say either way. In other words, Amri le hagisa, it's room to say one side. In other words, Trei kasi kame boi haseba, the first two cups of wine require seba, the hashahu de kam mischale le chayres, because now in the beginning of the Suda, we're reading in the Haggadah about chayres. We're reading how he walked out of Mitzrayim. So we're celebrating chayres as we're drinking the cups of wine, so it makes sense to do haseba during the first two cups of wine, as opposed to the Trei kasi basrai, which are during benching and later on during halel, lo boi haseba, you don't need haseba anymore, mai de hava hava, you're ready to discuss the whole story of Golas Mitzrayim. It's all over. So when you're reading the Haggadah, you should be leaning during the Haggadah, during the elements of the Zeicha, the Cheres. But after the meal's over, those two last cups, it's not part of anything, and therefore you don't need to do a Seba at that point. But then the Gemara says, the other side makes sense as well. Amri le lahagisa, you could say the opposite. Ad Rabba, Trei Kase, Basrei, Bai Haseba, the last two actually require Haseba. Hahi Shaita, the Kohavi Cheres. Now, we're actually in Cheres. It's all over. Now that we're out, we're living in freedom, we should do Cheres, Bizman Hazeh. That's the last two. But Trei Kasei Kamei, the first two, which are during the Haggadah, which is describing the process of Avdus to Cheres, we're not there yet. Lo by Aseba, we don't need to do Aseba, the Katei Avadim Hainu. We're still in the Avadim stage. We're not yet free. So there's room to say either one. And since the Gemara says, Hashtad Itmar Hachi, Vitmar Hachi, since there's room to say to lean for only the first two, and there's also room to say lean for the last two, the din is by Aseba, you need to do Aseba, Idi by Aseba, you need to do Aseba for both of them. So there's a lot to say here on this piece. This is the source of this, yeah. So look at Tosis for a second. Tosis writes, Amai de Hava Hava, Shekvar Amrugula, Lefne Asuda, we already completed the story of Hagula, that's why you don't have to do Aseba for the last two cups. That's the first pshat. So Vyafa gav the matzah tzricha seba. Now even the matzah does require a seba, and the matzah is after the suda ready, after the gullus, after the gada. So we just said when hagada is over, you don't need to lean. So why are we leaning for matzah if it's after the hagada at this point? Below amar ma'ay de hava hava. We don't say really discuss the story. Why lean again? Shiny matzah is different. She ikr suda yos miyain. That's the essence of the meal is the matzah, not the wine. V'od. We already fulfilled leading for wine for the first two cups. We don't have to do this again for the second two cups. V'yod, sheksuva b'torah zeicha l'cheresh shel hispik b'tzeikam l'hachmetz ad shenigalu. The essence of the matzah, the pasuk says, is about geula. You can't not lean for matzah. V'yafo gav dehavi lechem oni, even though it's supposed to be remembering the avdus, matzah has this dichotomy where it's on one hand lechem oni and avdus, yet on the other hand it's cheresh. And gula, yesh ochla derech cheres, we should still eat it b'derech cheres. Umash tzarech haseba b'matza, when we say you have to lean b'matza, haynu kishemivarchin alachiz matza uvafi komen. When you're saying the actual bracha, not when you're eating. So that's a very strange line. There's some, again, each line here is a whole sugi in its own right. The nature of matza, the nature of haseba. So this line of you only lean when you make the bracha, or Shlomo Zalman says what it means is you only lean when you're eating the matza that requires a bracha. But if you're eating matza during the meal, that doesn't require. But not on the bracha itself. When you're eating that which requires a bracha, that's how we understands it. So again, not getting all the details here, but there's a big discussion that Brisker Rav talks about the lumdus, the nature of haseba. With haseba is a chelik of the mitzvah, or it's a separate inyan. So what happens if a person ate matzah and didn't lean? Did he get the mitzvah or did he not get the mitzvah? So this next Tosfos talks about that, rather the Rush talks about that you don't get a mitzvah matzah. If you ate without leaning, you have to eat again because haseba is a chelik of the mitzvah. The Rambam seems like, no, there's an inyan of haseba and there's an inyan of matzah. And if you missed, you ate the matzah without leaning, you still get the matzah. Just lean afterwards. You don't really need to lean during the meal. You can lean all meal, and that's haseba. They're two separate inyanim. There's a lot of discussions in the Brisker Rav about this, but that's the basic hakira that exists. Okay, there's so much to say. I don't know. Like, I want to say all of it. I should say what? No, it's not pasuk. They actually bring it. There's a remez. It says in the pasuk of a haseba. I don't remember exactly the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, I think by Bishalach, when they went around, they turned the sovev in the Derech Eretz Plishim, I think, that pasuk. I'm not going to put you on the spot here. It says Haseba in the pasuk, so not Haseba by leaning, but the pasuk Sovev that's used, that's a remez for Haseba, but it's not a din deraisa. It's just a remez. A smach to the Rav Yah, I think, brings down.
That could be ma'akev. Somebody would say it's literally, you didn't, you weren't into your achilas
ma'akev. It's a good question. If it's only a din deraisa, how could it be ma'akev? It's a very good question. I'm not sure. It could be that's how the Chacham instituted it in such a way, they establish it to be that way. But it's definitely, I'm pretty sure, it's not a din deraisa. Okay, another thing, the Ron actually asks an interesting question. The Ron writes, wait a second, if Dal Kos is only a din d'rabanan, with a klal throughout all of Torah, Safek d'rabanan l'kula. So then he said, right, very good, excellent, yeah, very good, that's the remez. So the Ron asks, we have a klal, Safek d'rabanan l'kula. So if Dal Kos is only d'rabanan, so shouldn't we be makel and not do any haseba? We're machmir on both ends, we should be makel not to do any haseba. So he says, well, normally we're makel, but when it's so easy, we can be machmer. What's the big deal? Just lean over. So since it's easy, so even though suffik derban l'kula normally is the case, but when it's an easy thing to accomplish, we actually would be l'chumra. The other thing the Ron says is no. If you don't do a seba, you're uprooting a seba entirely from dalakosis. You're going to undermine the entire concept. So that would be another reason, he says, why we are machmer in this particular case. Okay, fine. Let's go vayitu now in the Gemara, even though there's a lot more to say.
Is there a difference between nowadays, because in those days, haseba was part of, like, was the way of eating. Nowadays, it's not.
They talk about this. The Parish Mishnah House talks about, they talk about such a thing of whether cheres that we do haseba is to remember what was done then or what we do nowadays. And nowadays, we don't do haseba. So if we're celebrating how they celebrated back then, you would have to. But if it's about how we are currently becheres, then seemingly we would not have to. It's brought down such a shita, I think, by the Rav Yah as well. But we assume that we go based on what was and we have to celebrate B'derech HaSeva. So Gemara now says, we are around 10 lines up or so from the bottom, from the narrow lines up. Praktan lo shmei HaSeva. If a person's in the position of praktan, what's praktan? So the Rashba and Tosa Machlok is where praktan is leaning down or leaning upwards. It's somehow lying down. Face down, face up, machlokas. Either way, you're not yotze the mitzvah of haseba. Haseba to yomin lo shma haseba, leaning on your right doesn't work. Why not? Rashbam says because if you're a righty, you can't use your right hand to eat. It's hard for a lefty. It's awkward for him to eat. You have to be comfortable. That's not cheres. Left side is the way one could eat comfortably. And vlo, not only that, elashema yaktim akane leveshet, v'yavol de sakane, it might go down the right, wrong side. That's why we lean towards the left. Now there's a machlokas in Rashbam. He brings today as well. The Shema Yachtim is going on when the guy's leading praktan, leading back, you know, up, lying down eating is very dangerous, but also leaning to the right can be dangerous. So machlokas, which position that's going on, but that's the din. So then the Gemara says, Eisha Eitza Baila Lo Boy HaSeba. When a wife in the presence of her husband should not lean, why not? Rashbam said, Mipnei Eimas Baila V'Kfufala, because the fear of her husband is upon her, so she can't bend down in front, she's scared of him. And im isha chashuva, if she's a very chashuv woman, how exactly to define isha chashuva, unclear. But if she's an isha chashuva, then tzri chaseba, she does require haseba. The Rama writes, bizman hazeh, all women are considered chashuva, so it's a very chashuv thing to think about. Every woman is a chashuv bizman hazeh, and they should all do haseba. And ben eitzel aviv, a son in the presence of his father, which of course is very commonplace, by haseba, he also requires haseba. So, but ibaylu, the Gemara says, what about a Talmud eitzel rabba? A Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe, my, what's the din? Does he have to do a Seba or not have to do a Seba? So my, Tashma Abai Kiyavina Bei Mar Zaginan Abircha Dadadeh. They were leaning on each other's knees. And Ki Asina Labei Rav Yosef, when they did the house of Rav Yosef, Amarlan Lo Tzichasi. He told us, Rav Yosef says, you don't need to do it here. Mo Rabcha Kamor Shemaim, the presence of your Rebbe, it's already a certain Ema there. You shouldn't lean in the presence of your Rebbe. So we see there you have it. The Talmud should not lean in front of the Rebbe. So Mesiv asks the Gemara, Im hakol adam Mesiv v'afil talmud etzer rabo. So a person should lean in the presence of anybody, even in front of his own Rebbe. So this goes against Rav Yosef. You should lean in front of your Rebbe. So Gemara says, Kitanya ahi b'shuyo dinagre. That's referring to not a Rebbe as a Rebbe in Torah, but a Rebbe in trade. It's a carpenter, you know, a person, an apprentice, is learning from a master. So that's what's referring to. In his presence, you're allowed to, but not in the presence of one's own Rebbe. So Ibayilu, Shamish mai. What about the Shamish? Should he be doing haseba or not? So my tashma damar Rabbi Shuben Levi Hashamish shachal kazais matzah kishu meisiv yatzah. So when the shamish eats, he should eat the matzah be'aseba meisiv in lo meisiv lo. So shmamina be'aseba shmamina. We learn from here that shamish, even though it might be hard and he's busy waiting on the tables, he needs to find the place a way to lean when eating matzah in order to fulfill the eating of matzah. So now the Gemara quotes a very famous statement, appears a few places in Shas. Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Nashim Chayavos Ba'arba Kosas Haladu. Women are obligated to drink all four cups of wine. She'af Hein Hayu Ve'osanes. They were also involved in the miracle. There's a big machlokas Yishonim always whenever it comes up. Rashi tells us, what does that mean? They were involved in the Nes. So if you take a look at the Rashbam, the first Rashbam on the page here, She'af Hein Hayu Ve'osanes. Daminam B'mesecha Sota. Bischar Nashim Tzidkaniyo Shayu Boso Hador Nigalu. So they were involved that they made sure that they continued the Jewish nation. So the women were the ones who were spearheading the Nes in Mitzrayim. V'chein gavi mikra Megillah amar hachi mishum dal yidei Esther. Esther was the one who orchestrated the Nes as well. And v'chein gavi Chanukah Masechta Shabbos. Each of the three areas where we find afenu also Nes dal kosos Chanukah and Megillah, the women were at the forefront, saving us whether from Milchama, from the Yeshua. So now Tosos says differently. Tosos writes, the second Tosos, Hayub Osones, we'll come back to the first one in just a moment, but the second one for now, Perish Rashbam, Ayidei Nigalu, if you jump down just a few lines, we'll continue reading in order. Perish Rashbam, Shayadam Nigalu, V'chem B'Megillah, Ayidei Esther, V'chanaka, Ayidei Yehudis, V'kosha, the Af Mashma, She'enan Iker, Af means they were secondary, that women were also included as a secondary factor, as Tafel, not as the Iker, and according to the Rashbam, to understand, they were the ones, not as a secondary, not as an afterthought. The Ode, Yushami Garish Af Hein Ayu Boson, Bosa Asafik, Mashma, Bosa Sakana. They were in the same suffix. They were in the same danger as everybody else. So they were in the same Sakana, Lahashmid, Laharo, Golabe. So says Tosis, it wasn't because they were orchestrating the Nes. They were not at the forefront of the Nes. Maybe they were, but that wasn't why they're chayv in the mitzvah. That was one girl. That was one lady, one tzaddikas. But it wasn't the whole nation. The reason why women are chayiv is because they were all in the same danger, whether it was a spiritual or physical danger, and that's the reason why. So one of the nafkamins between these two opinions, says the Rush, is whether or not avadim are chayiv in mitzvahs. If avadim, if it's based on the women who were the ones who were orchestrating the nais, so avadim were not involved in that, so they were not chayiv to do the mitzvahs. But if it's because women were in the same danger of being killed, well, the avadim of the Jews were also in that same danger of being killed, and therefore they would have to perform all these various mitzvahs.
It's still strange, though, because of course they were, if there's a gezeirah to kill the Jewish people, I mean, it's not like a chiddush to say that they were part of the nais, according to Tosfos.
Yeah,
if they're a component of the population.
Yeah, but you would have thought, because since it's a mitzvah, say, shazman grama, they should be potter like they are in general. So afen yubos, it brings them back in, even though that's true, it's man grama, that brings them back in to say that they are chayv nonetheless. That's the idea. Look at Tosis based on that question. Tosis in the very top says, Sha'af hei ne'ibos ha'neis, v'ilav ha'itayim had not been for that reason, lo ha'yu chayavos mishum denoshim b'turos mi'mitzah se'i she'ezman grama. So this just brings them back, even though it's intuitive, but there's again a counter pressure why they should be exempt. One hand, it's they're involved in the neis, yet on the other hand, in mitzah se'i she'ezman grama, so the Gemara just simply teaches us that af hei ne'ibos ha'neis trumps the p'tur of mitzah se'i she'ezman grama. Then Tosas writes one other line, which again requires a longer discussion. We'll just recite it. He says, "Mikoma afagav darba kosas drabanan kain deraisa tikim." What Tosas is alluding to there is that when it comes to mitzvah asei shehazman gramas, that women are normally chayven if it's a drabanan. Drabanans are not exempt. Women are not exempt from drabanans if it's afhein, if it's mitzvah asei shehazman gramas. Mitzvah asei shehazman gramas is only a p'tur on a mitzvah deraisa. Not p'tur in a mitzvah d'rabbanim. Now that itself is debated. You know, just for example, I'll just throw out something that just came across the other day, interesting sugi about kish levana, whether women have to say kish levana or not have to say kish levana. Now kish levana is certainly a din d'rabbanim; it's a brach only. And there is an opinion that Magen Avraham writes that women are pater because mitzvah say shazman grama. Ah, that's a d'rabbanim. So we see even d'rabbanim it's true. Now, again, the truth is, kish levana is not really a mitzvah asei shehazman grama. It's not really a zman. It's an issue of just not time. It happens to be when the moon's visible, not visible. It's based on an action, an event, not based on zman. And the others argue in Rishon Magid Ram, it's not a mitzvah asei shehazman grama. But either way, you see that the p'tur of mitzvah asei shehazman grama may actually apply to their abundance, not only their rices. But Tosef doesn't think so. So the only reason Tosef explains, he says it must be that Dal Kosef was main kain deraisa. And since it was main kain deraisa, you would have had the p'tur of mitzvah asei shehazman grama had not been for them of the af heinayu be'osanes. What about which Miguel's Divrei Kabbalah? So Divrei Kabbalah also has the same level. Divrei Kabbalah is even stronger probably than Dal Kosos, but it's in the Nevi'im, in the Ksuvim. So it's even a stronger level. Chanukah would be the big question. Chanukah, what's that? That's not their abundance out of Pasuk. You have to say it's also Kain Deraisa. There's a Balmor that talks about the lighting of the Neris. Chanukah was like the lighting of the Neris in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a question of the Nusach, the Bracha, you say, the Halak Nesha Chanukah, so it goes against the cloud, the Rambam, whether you should say Alam Brachos or Lilam Brachos. It's a big Sugim Psachim, Daf Zayin and Mabez. So the Ravid says, it's not a Shaila, because they modeled the Bracha of the Neres Chanukah after the Bracha of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which gives it a certain level of derais, even the Chanukah can. So that's a good question, but that would be somehow the response to it. Okay, there's so much to say here. But let's go weiter. I can't do more. I can do more, but I don't know if you want to hear more. Okay, the Gemara now says, top line here of Kuf Ches Amr Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Arba Kosos Halalu, Tzarech Sheyeh Ben Kidei Mezikas Kos Yafa. You have to have, the Arba Kosos have to be diluted in the proper way. There has to be a proper balance. The Rashbam refers to Gemara Babasa, talks about the 1-3 ratio of wine to water. Their wine was very, very strong back then. They needed to dilute it. Our wines are not strong. We don't have to dilute our wines. Perhaps you shouldn't even dilute them because it might take away from the wine. But it has to be, whatever that means, measured and diluted properly. Shasan chayv, a person drinks it raw, straight without diluting it properly. Yotze, one would still be yotze the mitzvah. We're going to go through analyze each of these in the Gemara just a second. And then the person, shasan bevas achas, we drink them all in one shot. So there's a machlokas, what does one shot mean? So according to the Rashbam, one opinion means that you drink them all in one cup. You take four cups, you put them into one large cup, and just gulp it as once. And the other shot, which Rashbam prefers, is no, you drink the one after the next, four cups. You drink one after the next, not al seder. That seems to be the preferred approach of drinking all four one after the next, not one large kos. One large kos is not four cups. Having four separate cups. That's Rashbam's understanding. That a person would be shasim bavas achas would be yotze. Hishka behen levanav levanei vesa, if a person gives it to his children to drink, he's also yotze. Again, we're going to analyze each of these separately in just a few lines. And then, so now the Gemara says, fine. Those three opinions, four concepts. Mezikas Yafe, Shasan Chai, Shasen b'vasachatz, and giving to the children. So Gemara says, Shasen chai, if you drink it raw, if you will, or drink it undiluted, you yotze. So Amarava, yidei yayin yatza, yidei cheres lo yatza. Now each of these Rashbams are really, you know, an own sugi is unright, but we're going to just touch upon them. You're yotze yayin, but you're not yotze cheres. And there's a big machlok is each of these had a give shot in each of these lines. We're going to just stick with the Rashbam. The Rashbam says as follows. Yidei yayin yatza, you have to look at the right one. There are a few of them here. It's the first yidei yayin yatza. It's right under the words hishka. So yidei yayin yatza, Rashbam says, sheshasa arba kosos. So if you drank four cups of wine, you're yotze the four cups, but yidei cheres lo yatza, klomer ein de mitzvah shlema, shein chashivas ela b'yayin mazu. But it's not the complete mitzvah. You get the mitzvah, but it's not the highest form. Since you drank it raw, it wasn't so enjoyable. You don't have the full mitzvah in a mufchar, but you do get the check mark nonetheless. Next, the Gemara says, Shasan bevas achas. You drink them in one shot, and we'll take the Rashbam's shot. You drank four cups, one after the next. So Rav Amar, Yidei Yayin Yatza, Arba Kosos Lo Yatza. So Yidei Yayin Yatza says the Rashbam, Mishim Simchas Yantif. Right, there's an itabi Simchas Yantif, which means to drink wine and to have basar. You drank wine, so you got your Simchas Yantif in. But Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yatza says the Gemara, V'kulan Chashuvim Kos Rishon V'lo Yosei. That's all called one big cup. Even though you had four of them, it's all one cup since it wasn't on Kaseidim. So then the Gemara says, if you hishka mehen levanav luvnei beso yata, if you give them to your children to drink, you are yote as well. Fine. So there was a Rashbam earlier that if a person himself, what it meant, pshat here meant, if you didn't drink it all by yourself, you gave it to your split amongst your children, you'd be yote as well. So Amar Rav Nachman says, Bar Yitzchak, v'hu de ishtei roba de kosa, as long as all together they drank rov of the kos. So the Gemara now says, Meisive, da kosas halalu, tzarech shehei ben, kidei revius echad, chai v'echad mazug. You have to have a revius of wine, whether it's raw chai, whether it's diluted mazug, echad chadash, echad yashin, whether it's new, whether it's old. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tzarech shehei botam, umar yain, has to have the taste and color of wine. We'll get to that in just a second. Katani mias, kidei revius. You have to have a kidei revius, v'atam as kos yafa, but you said a kos yafa. So what's a kos yafa? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Katani mias kidei revius, l'chol echad v'echad. That amris kidei mizikas kosya for the cholech of yachad kasakadaitach shnei shirim hein medulo kamar shmuel kidei revius kolashin abraisa. So I'm clear what kosya means, but kosya is a different phrase than revius. There's something different. So what's the shear of a cup? Is it kidei revius or is it kosya? So Gemara says very simple. Amri idi idi chat shiru. It's the same shear. When we say kosya, that means kidei revius. There is no steer. So my what does it mean? My kidei mizikas kosya. What it means is, as long as everyone has a nice gulp, as long as there's a revius in totality, that would be significant. That would be considered enough of a shear. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzarech Shei Botam Umar. We saw it in the Braisa. Yehuda says that the wine must be the color of red, or at least color of wine, and taste like wine. I mean, you can't dilute it so much where it becomes white, where it becomes tasteless. So how does he know? Amar Rava, my time of the Rebbe Yehuda. How does he know it has to be this way? The Chsiv, it quotes a pasuk. Pasuk and Mishnah, Mishlei, Al Teira Yain, Ki is Adam. So the pasuk calls wine Adam, calls it red, and therefore we see that wine has to look like red. So based on this, there's a machlokas in the poskim. What if you use white wine? Would white wine work? The Gemara clearly quotes a pasuk that wine must be red. So according to Ramban, if you drank white wine for Kiddush, you would not be yotze. You have to drink again. Kiddush, dal kosos. Ritva says, no, but the Eved, you're yotze with white wine as well. L'chachili should use red wine, but the Eved use white wine as well. Mechaber quotes both days, and we said we pass like the Ritva, that you can use white wine, it works. But ideally, red wine is preferable. Why is red wine preferable? Rashbam says red wine is considered more chashuv. That's all, more chashuv. But according to the other Rishonim, they say no, because the red wine, at least for Pesach night, is zecher l'dam. So it reminds us of the blood. So there might be a chilek that maybe dafka leil seder require red wine, but other nights of the year for kiddush you could use white wine, but certainly red wine is preferable. So there's a question, the poskim, two questions. Are you allowed to mix red wine and white wine? Number one, can you do that on Shabbos? Is that a problem of Shabbos? Number two is, will that be considered red wine? If I take my white wine and put a little bit of grape juice in, it's mostly Bartonur, but a tiny bit of grape juice, that's going to turn the whole thing red. Will that be considered red wine? So the poskim, some say that, although normally we say ein tzvia by ochlin, that you cannot, there's no such thing as dyeing food. You can't dye your shirt. That's a violation of tzaveya. But food is not considered dyeing something. But they say if you're dyeing something for a certain tikkun, for a certain purpose, it would be a problem. So let's say I want to, I don't know, I'm selling something, but I want to add some coloring to it to make it look nicer. I want to make my apples look redder. So I put some red dye to make it look redder. That's Tzvi Ba'ochlin. That's also, because that's a tikkun. You're trying to accomplish something.
You can put red and then white inside.
Yeah, but before that point, just in terms of making something a better act for a certain purpose, a certain tikkun, that would be a problem. So some posts can say, by making my white wine red, that's for tikkun of accomplishing fulfilling this pasuk. That would be a problem. Rav Elazar says we never have a tzvi ba'ochlin. Never is a problem. If you're trying to do it, whether it's food, whether it's liquid, he does not think there's an issue with this at all. So Ricky suggested what you could do is put the grape juice in first and then pour the white wine, and that's not called kohen. That would be the other eight to do. Excellent. Now, in terms of whether that would be considered red wine or not red wine, Rav Chaim of Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that that's not considered red wine. If I have mostly white wine, and I put a little bit of grape juice in it, even though it looks red, that's not red wine. Red wine must be red wine, not white wine mixed with some color. That's based on either way. But I probably buy chashivas.
So that would rule out pink. Somebody likes pink wine, I guess, according to that.
Not necessarily. Pink wine, I don't know how they make pink wine. If it's diluted, it might be an issue. But pink wine is how they use the certain grapes and removing a certain amount of peels. I don't know how they do it. That probably would be okay. But if it's mixed together, that would already be the problem. Okay, I think we did a lot today. So let's stop here, and Mirza Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Oh, let's do a quick recap. I'm sorry, quick recap. This will be a fast one. Feel free to run if you need to run. We start off today by saying that wine is something that makes you very hungry, whets your appetite. You're allowed to drink extra cups between the first two cups, but you can't drink extra cups between the third and fourth cup because the meal is already over. Rav Sheshes fasted Erev Pesach not because it was his man Pesach, because he was an istinus, and any amount of food would ruin his appetite later that night. We spoke about the requirements of Haseba during matzah, not during Marah. Machlokas, first two cups. Second two cups, we paskin, you have to lean for all four cups because it's machlokas. How to lean, it should not be on your back, should not be on your front, should not be on your right side, rather it should be on your left side. A woman in front of her husband should not lean, but nowadays if she's an isha chashuva, she should. Son in front of the father can lean. A talmid in front of the rebbe should not lean, but an apprentice in front of the master should lean. Then we had a Bishua quote from Nashim Chayavos Bar Bar Kosa because Afinu Musa Anes. And then we had all the different days about the person who drinks, it should be diluted. Mezikas Kos Yafet should be the shear of the wine. But if a person drank it chai, he's still yotze. If he drank it bevas achas, he's yotze. If he gave it to his children to mitzaref the shear, that would be yotze as well. And then finally we had the idea of the wine being red based on the pasuk in Mishlei. And now we'll stop. Everybody have a wonderful day.